Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. I hope everyone had a great week, and I hope you all have a better weekend to follow. As always, such a creature of habit I am. Hi, Rex, and how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. What's going on?
Oh, you know, not too darn much. I've been, just doing my thing outside here on the other side of the box, having a good old time with it. You know, how about you? Did the weather finally break?
No, it's raining again.
Really? Oh, my God. What's your temperature?
67.
But how do you live? Did you move? It was 86 yesterday and today here. And that's
nice.
Like you always are ahead of us weather-wise. That's weird. Well, I don't know. God must think you need it more. The cooler weather with a lot more rain. You know what? It's so that way your peaches grow big and strong this year. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, so, yeah, there's not a whole lot happening here. It's just been a quiet day, like I say, outside the box. And life is good. My son called me outside. He had cleaned up the entire backyard, mowed the front lawn. I was like, darn, do I know you? He did a nice job. It looks really good. He's getting better. He's only in his 30s. I mean, eventually he'll get his straight. Yeah. Maybe in my lifetime even. But it's all good. It's all good. So anyhow, Boy, do we have a full board tonight. It's looking good.
Oh, cool.
Looking good. I think we had 11 carryovers last Friday, which was like a lot. So we brought those forward, and we have eight, I think we have eight or nine audios. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy night. So what else do we need? Am I forgetting something? Probably. I always forget something. We have a couple folks on the line. First off, we have Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Kate. Welcome aboard. Good to have
you
as always.
Thank you so much. Hello, Rex.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you.
Excellent.
June fine. That's a Scottish word, you know. June.
Hi, June. Hi. You're okay, Hal?
June. I like June.
Falling down the stairs.
And then we have Laurent with us. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party.
Good evening. Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. Hello,
how
everyone.
You doing?
Rex, good to hear your voice, your dulcet tones.
It's been a while.
All right. You needed a little rest. I get it. That's what it is. Yes. Our policemen are known to say, hello. There you go. I'm telling you, I shouldn't watch the board. I get myself all turned around. Anyway, guys, I don't know, but we got lots to do. So I think I'm going to come over here. And, Rex, I'm going to ask you to read this first one by Average White Man. And this is a carryover from last week. And here we go, whenever you're ready. It's called Through the Heather.
Okay. Through the Heather by Average White Man. Ends without true beginnings, commitments without weddings, love without endings. A keen northwesterly gale dishevels us, our fingers entwine on our short climb through the heather and to the shelter. The wind bites our reddened cheeks, but we didn't notice the leather. Once inside, I waste not a moment before my lips are pressed irrevocably to your luscious, parted petals. Utterly, irresistibly, divine you are to me. You're back against the cold wall of thoughts, but you feel only the heat between two lost lovers locked in an embrace of exploring fingers and probing mouths, searching, tasting, and savoring like this is our final meal. Strong, rough hands slide through your locks and to your scalp. Tingles chase dragons up spines through hidden pathways in our minds to these eyes overwhelmed by a touch so sublime, chests heaving like geysers, ready to burst forth in a glorious chorus of carnal lust, fueled by surging waves of love. Open the floodgates. We can hold back no longer. I only truly found myself when I lost myself in you. End poem. Laurent, why don't we kick it with you first, please?
Yeah, certainly. I thought this was a sensuous gothic whirlwind of emotions and imagery. It has so much energy. It really moves you along. And the language is, well, it is luscious. You're back against the cold wall of thoughts. And I love that imagery. But you only feel the heat between two lost lovers locked in an embrace of exploring fingers and probing mouths, searching, tasting, savoring, like this is our final meal. I can taste that, too. Excellent piece.
Well said. Thank you very much. All right, Nate, we're into you now. What about you?
Okay, Mikey. Yes, I mean, I tell you, this must have energy if they manage to get through the wind and the heather to the bothy. And then continue from there. Lots of energy. I thought it was brilliant. I loved it. Just it reminded me of Scotland and the walks we have, because we have bothies, and people just go and stay in them overnight and then move on the next morning. Cost nobody anything, but it's just a place to go. And like these two lovers did, you find yourself out of the wind and having a much better time than walking through the heather. So I thought it was lovely. I thought it was so, sensual and well-written and just moved along nicely. So thank you so much, Average White Man. It was really good.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, we're on to you.
Oh, this is a beaut to me. I love this one. Just wonderfully written. I thought it was wonderfully expressed. I thought there was grand imagery and wording throughout. Was great. I'm trying to find the spot. I like, you know, there's no separation for me to hone in on that one spot. But I have to say, you know, up here, once inside, I wasted not a moment before my lips were pressed irrevocably to your luscious parted petals. Utterly irresistible, divine you are to me. Your back against a cold wall of thoughts, but you feel only the heat between two lost lovers. Beautiful wording, beautiful imagery. Just a really well done piece. So thank you, Avic Whiteman. Really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Enjoyed the metaphorical play and the double dipping in the double entendre, so to speak. That sort of irrevocably to your luscious parted petals. You can work that either way you want, where the mind goes, and dips into that notice of tingles chase dragons up spines, and then there's the probing mouth searching, tasting, and saving, like this stuff. Final meal. Nicely done there. And the back end of this with the thought of chest heaving like geysers ready to burst forth in a glorious chorus of carnal lust, fueled by surging waves of love. Very nicely done there, Average White Man. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. We're back.
Almost.
To see you.
Yes, you are. Let me do that. Do that. And do that. Okay. And for the next magic trick, Kate, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece by Allison Hodges. And one second, and I'll put it on the board. This is called Morning Arises by Allison Hodges.
Did you want me to read this, love?
Yes,
ma'am. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't hear. I apologize. Okay. You must be in my bad ear.
I'm just so soft spoken.
Okay. I can do this. Morning Arises. The tree leaves twinkle in the sunlight as the sun peeks over the horizon. The birds cast a light melody across the sky and a light breeze drifts across the veranda. I do not break the silence with my words. So I drink my coffee, simply sitting and watching, that every day could begin with such joy in my heart, such ease in my mind. Heaven and earth intertwine and nature presents her silhouette. End poem.
Oh, nicely read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, this is right up your alley. Short, sweet, and deliberate.
Absolutely. I gave that one away. What was wrong with me? I thought this was a wonderful piece by Allison, a wonderful brevity. I thought that the imagery in it was great. I loved how she brought us into the poem with that first stanza. The tree leaves twinkle in the sunlight. As the sun speaks over the horizon, the sun peaks over the horizon. The birds cast a light melody across the sky, and a light breeze drifts across the veranda. I do not break the silence with my words. I love that first stanza. I think that it just leads into the rest of it beautifully, and it just had wonderful imagery, and it was relatable. So excellent job, Allison, and thanks for sharing with us.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And LaVon, how about you?
Well, Katie, I thought you gave that read a very light, whimsical tone, almost, which I thought suited it perfectly. You know, sometimes we have perfect mornings, perfect moments, best described in the last two lines, heaven and earth intertwine, nature presents her silhouette. You know, when you don't want to break the silence with your words, because everything around you is the way it should be, and that moment is cast in gold, what can you do but be quiet and enjoy it? This is a really, really nice brevity.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. All right, Kate, you got to read it. How about you?
And I was very pleased to get to read it. It was lovely. I was slightly thrown by that first line, only because I thought it was absolutely amazingly done. The tree leaves twinkle in the sunlight. I just hadn't thought of that, you know, twinkle before, and I thought it was brilliant. So I'm sorry if I sounded a bit amazed, but it was just lovely. And excuse me a second. Oh, my throat. One second. Oh, dear, there's going to be a lot of that. I do apologize. Oh, dear. So, yes, I thought it was simply beautifully done as a brevity, so much. And I can understand entirely wanting to drink coffee and not talk and just enjoy, because that silence can be so profound. Sometimes the silence can be awkward. We know that. But sometimes, like this, it's just what you want, a heaven and earth intertwined. But I also loved that every day could begin with such joy in my heart, such ease in my mind. I would wish that for everybody. So, yes, Alison, I really enjoyed this. It was very sweet.
All right. Thank you, Kate. I think this is the perfect set. You look at that opening stanza as the beauty in the moment. And then to sit there, double lines, so I drink my coffee, simply sitting and watching. That kind of note to peace and harmony in the moment, and then the finality with the last five lines setting the tone for where the day is going. You've got that perfect moment to arise and sit and ponder and just enjoy the morning, and that's a great start to any day. Nicely done, Alison. All right, Jane.
Okie dokie. Well, Laurent, I want to put the next piece up for you, and this is called The Holland Road by Ben Hart. Whenever you're ready. Laurent?
The Holland Road.
Are you
ready? The song. My favorite days were when driving home past broken cityscapes and tinsel towns and Palantir precip would snake down the see-through stage. And I'd count peeved birds of prey disguised by the drench as totems on the fence posts or black canaries in a cage of rain. You'd have your hands on the wheel and would be singing something in French that sounded too beautiful to believe you were talking about me. And somehow too happy for you to have it meant a lemon-rind lipstick and hands apprehensive of deals with the divine to hold off on the revolution against melancholy. So when days of heaven ever come, we're to be greeted, not grieved. Of Marseille apartments and Picasso poets, who were music box dancers and just didn't know it. Of repainted villas at Trouville, with ships stacked on the awning, where across the tea-green sea you can catch yesterday leaving. And we loved being ghosts upon the Holland Road that is said to lead nowhere, but we're pretty sure it leads home. Because only when so far removed from what we were supposed to be feeling do we begin to understand there is nowhere else to be. Then, falling in love at every hollow dawning with everything, brave enough to be bereaving. The fight. Sometimes you drift so far away, like you've already left, and I dare not look at you, for I fear I will find the answer I couldn't bear. That it's not about coming back, because you were never really there. And in the fog, left by my hastily exhaled upset on the window of your little black beetle, I drew the gypsy eyes you said some days left you defeated, and on others provided the only safe place to where you could retreat. I used to find you there, amid the drifting, numb on nothing. And so what if now I am Reaper, madly in love with the living? Is my Midas touch not still loving? Are my hands not still uplifting? The slippery truths we set free, a smoke out of hurting throats, freezing into black ice on Holland Road, and you steered into the skid when behind your war-painted lips I heard singing again, but this time it was kids MGMT, and by the second, take only what you need from it. You were screaming. I had no trouble believing you were singing about me. Take only what you need from it. Well, darling, what if I need everything? As not to feel alone in my withstance of emptiness. The crash, the love. Another beetle is on its back, and you can literally see where we went off track. Anger, too, will fleet, as every moment must. And though the beetle is on its back, we're safe. Bar a bruised knee, just scrapes and cracks. Far from beat, just a bit busted up. And the moment I find your eyes already celebrating our return to romance, I thank the gods, out of earshot, that even though I'd never stand a chance against everything you could call upon, and in the moment I find your eyes already forgiving the wanderer for his next voyage. I thank the gods for my Frisian blood that I get to know what love is, and that when looking upon you, stood beside the Holland Road when the rain froze to snow upon your yellow lips, I forgot where we lived and steered against the drift to taste the lemon and come home fearless into the arms of my dearest. And yeah, perhaps I am Reaper in search of feeling bereft. You're right, darling. It's not about coming back, because I never left. End poem.
Great read, Levant. Thank you very much. All right, Kate, you got to lead us off. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, this was so well written and so immediate, so raw. I really enjoyed this so much. I don't even enjoy the right word when there's so much which sounds like hurt and pain. But it was incredibly, I mean, very well read, by the way. Excuse me. Very well read, by the way, Laurent. I really enjoyed that reading as well. It was well done. And all of it was just devastating and wonderfully written. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ben.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
I thought this was a great piece by Ben. You know, as always, his work is really wonderful. I have to say that I like how he broke this out. You know, there's the song, and he gives you that, this happy note of this relationship. And then he gets into the fight, you know, where they disagree. And I think I've seen this in another piece or so of his work. And the way he words it out is wonderful. His references to the, and in the fog left by my hastily exhaled upset on the window of your little black beetle, I drew the gypsy eyes. You said some days left you defeated, and on other days provided the only safe place to where you could retreat. It's the imagery in that is wonderful, and you can visualize it easily. And it just makes it all that much, relatable to me. So, I mean, that was wonderful. And then he leads into the crash, the load. And so the beetle is on its back, and you can literally see where we went off track. Anger, too, will fleet as every moment must. You know, there's a fight and a change, coming to terms, I guess, with it. And this, I'm never really sure, because sometimes it comes off that someone's past in this relationship. And that's kind of where my head usually goes. But I don't see that in his notes at the bottom. So hopefully I'm wrong. And I think that it was just really well done. And I think that it says a lot, and it says it well. Ben has a real far away with words, so it's great. And thank you, Ben, for sharing with us, as always. Great reading, Laurent.
All right. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
It ain't easy, huh? I was kind of speechless following my read. I found it enormously appealing. And this piece is on a far higher plane than most I read. I would very much like to discuss this poem in depth with the author. shades of Dylan Thomas, a smidge of the Beats, a borrow from the classics here and there. It is a fascinating, fascinating piece.
Yes, it is. I'm going to take that note from that first stanza, the song, because this is like a song done in three-part harmony. If you leave one bit out of it, it doesn't work. You need all three of those voices to sing in unison to make this possible and make it flow the way it does. I love the language, the little play on words. The Black Beetle was a nice touch. The Lemon Rhyme lipstick. And there was another piece in here. What was it? And in the fog left by my hastily exhaled upset on the window of your little black beetle, I drew the gypsy eyes you said some days left you defeated and on others provided the only safe place to where you could retreat. A double mix there of both the love and not quite the hate, but the anger that sometimes drives the fight. And the nice touch of that last stanza, last out with the crash, the love. Not so much the crash where it sprawls across the highway, leaving everything broken and dead. This led into a little cut, scrapes and bruises, the usual, but it's the mix back into from the crash, the makeup, which makes this work on the back end of it. So, well done, Ben. All right, Jane. Bye-bye.
You can get it.
Well, that's a front-page pick. Let me look.
Yeah, excellent.
Oh, great.
Well deserved.
No, I don't see it. I don't see it. It should be. I don't see it. All right. All right. Never mind.
Yeah, I just lost exactly what I was trying to
do. Nominate that.
Okay. I finally figured out what I was doing. Okay. And now, to my next magic trick. Yeah, Bullwinkle. Oh, well, a rabbit out of my hut. Or up, out of my sleeve, or wherever the hell he's going from. There we go. What can I tell you? This is called Ballad of Lucas Lilac 2 by Jack Blue. I'm going to give this one a read. The Ballad of Lucas Lilac Number 2 by Jack Blue. If my sleepy, silly wings kept silent for eternity, like a broken sculpture or a sorry stone of luck, I sailed the bluest wilderness against tomorrow's fantasy. A cloud of angels gently fly through the blue of holiness and dance around the shade of the porch of paradise. But my idle wings balk at the prelude hopelessly. The canticle of seven tones rolls around the nightly sea, where the furious waves of the yellow amaryllis storms and rings of bloom like a ghost guitar. A shape of joyful blue like a gentle dissonant flickers in the purple mist when the waves of silence play the permanent pavane sweetly for the starry sound. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't you start up with you, please?
Wow, you got some great, great poems on tonight. If my sleepy, silly wings keep silent for eternity, like a broken sculpture or a sorry stone of black, I sail the bluish wilderness against tomorrow's fantasy. And then to talk about a cloud of angels gently fly through the blue of holiness, kind of breathtaking images, just beautifully done, taking the metaphor of the flower and treating it so beautifully the way he has. Excellent, excellent piece.
Thank you, Laurent. Kate, how about you?
Oh, this was certainly a feast for the eyes. I love the cloud of angels gently fly through the blue of holiness and dance around the shade of the porch of paradise. But my idle wings balk at the prelude hopelessly. I thought that was just beautiful. So there's color, there's movement, there's flowers, there's hope and joy. I don't think you could ask for more. It was beautifully written. And I did enjoy that last stanza very much as well. So altogether, and it's obviously, if you look at the AN, it's been translated from one of his poems in Portuguese. So that is even equally as interesting. Mm. So, yes, thank you very much, Jack. I enjoyed it.
That was so
thank you, Jake. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Luke, as always. You know, he always has something that's, you know, full of imagery and full of, and usually full of colors. And this one's really not much of an exception to that. I thought he had wonderful imagery. And a cloud of, this is the stanza I grabbed, a cloud of angels gently fly through the blue of holiness and dance around the shade of the porch in paradise. But my idle wings balk at the prelude hopelessly. I thought that was just lovely. You know, he's got the angels and he's got the blue of holiness. I thought that was an interesting way to describe the sky. So I thought that was just, it was just lovely. Lovely piece and very well done. So thank you, Luke, as always, for sharing with us. Much appreciated.
It's been a while since we've seen Jack, and he always gives us usually the dance motifs, the veins, and so on. But this one's just as colorful and beautiful as all the dances that he offers. That third stanza is delightful. The canticle of seven tones rolls around the nightly sea with a furious wave of the yellow amaryllis, storms, and rings of bloom like a ghost guitar. Lovely, Jack, and thank you very much.
And this was a front page pick in March, so excellent job, and congratulations on that, Jack. Yeah, all kinds of good. Let me see now. Well, I guess I'm going to ask Kate to read. Well, no, here I'll get. I'm going to have you read this one by Jack Thompson. I kind of had to bounce around from it. This is where I get lost. Hey, Selena, welcome to the party. Okay, whenever you're ready, Rex, it's up.
Oh, I like that. Strange Fruits by Jack Tomkovic.
Yeah.
Drinking root beer and rhubarb with raspberries while Lorraine Hansberry's reed raisins all dry up in the sun of Langston Hughes. Black asphalt driveway. As Billie Holiday sings the blood song, Strange Fruit. Brown men hanging like overripe bananas from the trees, skin split and bloody like roasted eggplant. Then James Baldwin's Fire Next Time ignites the voice of Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man in screaming color. With native son consuming Bigger Thomas, Bigger Thomas's crime for a thousand sons, while eating white-breaded cake, I read Claude McKay's If We Must Die Only as a Poem. End poem. All right, Kate.
Nice.
Why don't we start with you?
Oh, my. This is, wow, this is very good. I love the title for a start, Strange Fruit. That gives you an idea of what we're dealing with. But I love drinking root beer and rhubarb with raspberries while Lorraine Hansberry raisins all dry up in the sun of Langston Hughes. I'm afraid I've got a little bit lost in that second stanza. I haven't got a Scooby-Doo about Langston Hughes, but I'll try and find out. I will find out. Give me a little bit of homework. But I thought it was wonderful. It looks to me as though these are people who may have had problems with dealing with people around them, possibly, if I'm looking at the different names. But beautifully done, bringing in all these people, and I really enjoyed it. This is a message, which I will have to find out. I'm going to decode it if it's the last thing I do, but I found it very enjoyable, so thank you, Jack. Sorry for my woeful lack of knowledge. I do apologize.
Thank you, Kate. Laura, how about you?
Well, this is really a wonderful tribute to a series of black authors who have written some seminal pieces. I'm sure it's not difficult to find out which ones they are. I think they're all named. Native Son by Thomas, Claude McKay's If We Must Die, Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, Baldwin with Fire Next Time, Strange Fruit, which I think is one of the most beautiful songs, most sad songs ever written about the hanging of blacks. on the cottonwood trees, and raisins all dry up in the sun of Langston Hughes's black asphalt driveway. Langston Hughes is another really well-known poet whose works I admire. He writes from short pieces to longer pieces, but all of them convey a message one way or another, and his vernacular is fantastic. As is, I got away from the poem, I'm sorry. I think it's very emotive. The language is perfectly paced, and the imagery is stark. Given the subject, it's perfect. It's a wonderful tribute to all the great authors and the history of the African American in this country.
Nice. Thank you, Rob. And Jean, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was a clever nod to Black History Month, because I know you made reference down below. The references of the different authors and their works throughout I thought was clever and well put together. So definitely a nice piece, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us, as always.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That case, the thought was that Langston, Langston Hughes was credited with the Harlem Renaissance in the 20s, the thought of bringing black life to life as a poet. He lived in Harlem during the New York City in the 20s. So that to you. And this does walk in that note to life and how it's presented to itself. And because he hits on that note of black asphalt driveway as Billie Holiday sings the blood song, Strange Fruit, nicely done with that. And brown men hanging like overripe bananas from the trees. That reminds me of, what's that song, Deo by, I can't think of his name. Oh, that's a lovely. Anyway, nicely done, Jack. Thank you very much. Damn. Now that's going to bother me.
All right. Okay.
Back to you, Jean.
You've got it. I'm going to put the next piece. It's called The Eyes of Eternity by S. Sharp. So let me put that audio up. And then we'll go to sleep. I see you somewhere. I know it is. All right. Now let's see. Hang on. There it is.
The Eyes of Eternity. Cold winds call dark clouds across the northern Montana sky. An incessant beep of life reminds of time borrowed in the eyes of mankind. Nurses scurry by, a buffalo stampede stirring a dust storm. A voice thunders out of the rebellious darkness. I still blush in a sky, a sunset of red and pink. An eagle bows outside my window, diving, honoring the winds upon which she flies, carrying the seed of eternity upon earth. Its people, water and fire intermingle. Waves in winter solstice freeze, like the majestic elk on winter's ridge, overlooking the valley of time, soon to be silenced in the void. Time stands still. Gaze into my eyes, my child. Rivers flow beyond the open rabbit brush, no longer held like trilobed sumac in the limestone outcroppings, no longer surrendering to the confines of time. Life curls and coils, striking into the dark night, a prairie rattlesnake wrapped inside my eyes, wanders, slithers into the prairie grass. Spotted bats guard the long night, shocked and shelled. Painted turtles shelter Mother Earth in the center of the four winds, where wolves howl upon the rugged path to eternity. The golden eagle swoons upon this new morning beyond my eyes. I now pale here in time. I am the eagle now. Life, eternity, flies onward.
Great read, Scott. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Jean, we're going to come to you first.
I knew that. I knew that. You know, I knew that because I wasn't ready. But that's okay. I can jump in here. I thought this was a wonderful referencing nature and its wonder. You know, the different animals, you know, the birds, the wolves, the spotted bats guard the long night, shocked and shelled, painted turtles shelter Mother Earth in the center of four winds, where wolves howl upon the rugged path to eternity. Wonderful lines and very, it's kind of like a 2 feet on the floor poem to me. You know, it really, natural, I guess is what I want to say. And Scott has a wonderful way of writing like that. And I think this is no exception. It's a wonderful piece. And I love the references to nature all the way through. It's a great job. And thank you, Scott, very much.
All right. Thank you, Gene. And Laurent, how about you?
The quality of the poetry tonight requires more than a simple line of, hey, great read. It's tough to keep caught up. Okay. Spotted bats guard the long night. Shocked and shelled, painted turtles shelter Mother Earth in the center of the four winds where wolves howl upon the rugged path to eternity. I mean, there's so much excellence to quote. I went with that one because I think, and I'm not certain, but the imagery of the turtle as a focus for Mother Earth or bearing the earth on its shell or as the center of the earth, I don't remember, but I think it's one of those, really being the center of the earth. And then you have the wolves howl upon the rugged path to eternity. It's almost as if he's viewing history or life or the passage of time or even, shall we say, eternity with the backdrop of the Montana sky, which is it's a vast open space. It's inspiring just to be there. And we get into buffalo stampede and eagles, majestic elk, the prairie rattlesnake. They almost seem to morph into part of him, and then they morph out of him. And one kind of observes the world through their eyes, the eyes of the animals, as well as he, who seems to take their shapes occasionally, and certainly for the ending. I hope I'm not misinterpreting. I thought it was a fantastic story, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Yeah, how about me? I thought this kind of like grabbed me. This is incredible. Oh, I didn't even know all these blooming creatures lived in the same area, for goodness sake. Amazing. I loved it. I loved it. A buffalo stampede stirring a dust storm. A voice thunders out of the rebellious darkness. I still blush in the sky, a sunset of red and pink. And it got so intense. There was such... you know, then you have like the majestic elk on Winter's Ridge overlooking the Valley of Time, soon to be silenced in the void. Oh, my goodness me. And then time stands still. That's good. I like that. Time standing still gives you more time to look around. But then I think my favorite, always the last, this penultimate and last stanzas kind of always bring things together for me. So then you have the golden eagle swoops and swoons upon this new morning beyond my eyes. I now pale here in time. I am the eagle now. Life, eternity, flies onwards. That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. So yes, we go on. We always go on. No matter what's happening, things can happen and we just carry on, which I think is a wonderful thought. So yes, I really, really enjoyed this very interesting poem, S Sharp. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. I guess four lines in that first stanza which give life to the whole piece because it does walk through the eyes of eternity. An incessant beat of life reminds of time barred in the eyes of mankind. Nurses scurry by. This is somebody on their deathbed looking at that which they viewed over their time in Montana, but also through the eyes of all those animals, the buffalo, the elk, the rattlesnake, the bats, seeing everything come together in a moment of beauty before he moves on to the next level of, or next stage of being. So it is kind of like looking back in time, as you said, Laurent, viewing history or maybe just viewing his history in retrospect and giving himself that send-off that he really wants, something beautiful on the way out the door. So, Scott, well done. I like this piece.
Nice comment, everybody. Okay. Kate, I have the next one for you, and this is called Chromatic Rise by Irish Rose. But whenever you're ready, hon.
Okay. I'm getting there now. Nope, not the one. I'm sorry, I'm refreshing as we speak. I do apologize. I got it. Oh, I do like when things go right. Here we are. Chromatic Rise by Irish Rose. Oh, it says, please play while reading. Are we playing something while I'm reading?
No, because I cannot do that. Because it doesn't work out well volume-wise.
I didn't think so. Yeah, well, we'll just hum. Somebody hum in the background. That would be wonderful. Okay.
Mr. Laurent will do it.
serious face. Here we go. Rising up, emerging from my chrysalis, I'm perched vertically along a horizontal line, slowly feeling filtered realities, hand guide gently, floating on fingers carrying rays of light, soft as down, that are frozen, cast in glass, becoming a boa, coiling, reflecting time, flowing, glowing, round and round through my eyes. Dancing systems slowly ascend, then descending, transcend. Absorbing contractions, exploding, bending, sounding decibels, sounding, reviving, retreating, retrieving, renewing, and returning. Sound, sound, sound. Images react and recall and recall reacting. Responding, releasing, breathing, breathing in, breathing up, breathing out. Breathing free, breathing deep. Exactly, timely, promptly, automatically, a syncopated sinus rhythm beaten into earnest precision, seeping deep in full flight, fully aware of escort, accompanied and guided by programmed life. Ritual is alive. Feet on floor, hard, cold floor. On that floor, cold, hard floor. Cold on feet, cold, cold. Feet are cold, hard, hard. Hard, cold floor. Fingers now prize, blinds back. Now blinding light, literally blind. Blind eyes blink back. Blinking, smeared sight. Blaring light blares out. Sounds now seen, colours are vibrating and sing. Seen shouting, seeing, now shouting. Sounding, light sings. Lightning blind. Sounding shouts. Profuse chromatic sounds. Sounding out, tangled up all around. Rainbows are connected, now anchored down, eyes open to dawn's rising procession of light. Plaintively painting on the day's dawning soundscapes in bright morning light. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, this is to my initial read, a little abstract. Then I realized that she's connecting two things. Slowly filtered, feeling filtered reality's hand. Guide gently, floating on fingers, carrying rays of light, soft as down, that are frozen, cast in glass, becoming a boa, coiling, reflecting time, flowing, glowing, round and round through my eyes, is a beautiful description of light. But all of a sudden, we have sound entering, absorbing contractions, exploding, bending, sounding, decibel, sounding, revving, retreating, retrieving, renewing, and returning, sound, 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 almost as if the light itself is making a noise that she can hear. And as we go on down, exactly, timely, promptly, automatically, a syncopated sinus rhythm, beaten into earnest precision, seeping deep in full flight, almost as if what is happening is indeed a ritual. As she says, ritual is alive. The stanza that references the cold, well, I'll say it's got to be, it can't be summertime then. But fingernail prize blinds back, now blinding light. All right, so what we're looking at is the dawn as she sees it. And the sound that she seems to hear from the light kind of tells us that she sees light as sound, I guess? I don't know. I'm going to have to read this again. I think it's just a beautiful piece. Complex, well-written, but certainly discernible.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. Kate, how about you?
Yes, I can see what Laurent is talking about there. Yes, starting off with the light and how that affects eyes and everything. And then we have the sound. And that was, you know, that was definitely sound. And I did like images react and recall and recall reacting, responding, releasing, breathing, breathing in, breathing up, breathing out, breathing free, breathing deep. That complex, but very interesting. And then we have the sound going deeper and the light becoming fuller. And then we have the two coming together. So I thought it was very well done, very interesting. And as Laurent said, it does warrant having another couple of reads, I think, to get to all of it. But I thought it was great to read it, too. I enjoyed that.
Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, we're coming to you. But you got to unmute first.
The unmuting takes the mystery out of everything. I think this is a clever and well-done piece. And I want to thank Irish Rose for sharing, because I'm going to have to read it again myself, because, you know, I'm a little slow on the uptake. And we all know that. So it's all good.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much. Laurent, you were on the right track. She is equating light with sound and how it greets her as that daily ritual, waking up in the morning, light beaming in, the blaring sound of the light itself as it greets your eyes is a nice touch. But sort of because she hits on images, react and recall, and recall, react and responding, releasing, breathing, breathing in, breathing up, breathing out, breathing free, breathing deep. So there's almost a note right there to being thankful for another day of duty, hearing those sounds. As it ticks across the body, calls the body to rise once more, to wake from that dream plane and enter into what comes with the sun, those rituals of connecting to the world once more and breathing in the joy of life. So, nicely done, Irish. Thank you very much.
All right,
Jean. Well, I could see you.
The next piece I'm going to put up is by Arcana Amor, called Falling. And just to let everyone know, we have an announcement. I wanted to make it earlier, but of course it took my mom, because, you know, I'm a little deaf. Arcana Amor and Selena will be joining the team of hosts and hostesses here on LNP. They'll be doing a show every other Saturday called Delving into the Depths of Delving the Depths of Darkness. So I think it'll be a wonderful show. They have their first contest up, and anyone who's interested, please take a peek. I'm sure they'll be glad to have your work. So with that being said, now I'm going to put up Arcana's piece, Fallen, and have an audio.
What's their theme?
Speak not to me of the night, when shadows swell where night owls dwell. For 'tis my plight to fade from sight, in this hollow shell to wander such hell. I walk alone where phantoms roam. My presence crawls through clinging pores within this pitch so darkly rich. Each footstep sighs 'neath darkened skies. I have fallen so far beyond yonder star. Now I roam through night by pale moonlight in an empty embrace since my fall from grace. Only an angel hears when heaven sheds tears. Crows sing cries of cord goodbyes to seraphic things and absent wings. They shriek their songs in flapping throngs towards my ears when nightfall nears. As I search around upon the ground, I seek to find what lies behind of feathered shreds where an angel treads in a dark silhouette of winged regret. With shivered chills where night air spills, my time is spent as thoughts repent. I pray clemency to warm this cold forlorn and deliver this lament sincerely sent.
Wonderful read there, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, we're going to kick it off with you.
Oh, that was astounding. Oh, I enjoy his work so much. I think he must be on my side of the world because his voice appears to be so close to me. But other people, when I hear them talking, it sounds there is a distance there. But he must be. He must be because it is so deep and so easy for me to hear. I thought it was wonderful. The music was incredible. His voice, as ever, is wonderful. And the rite itself was full of pain and somebody who's been deserted, somebody who's, deserted. I thought it was very well done, and thank you so much for sharing. Oh, and sorry, was this a collaboration? Because then it was wonderful, but I enjoyed it very much.
I thank you.
You're laughing at me. I don't blame you. Sorry.
That's all right. Laurent, how about you?
Fascinating piece. I'm still searching for the proper word to describe the kind of darkness that this describes. It's unhearingly spooky. Speak not to me of a night when shadows swell, where night owls dwell, for 'tis my plight to fade from sight in this hollow shell to wander such hell. How evocative of the supreme loneliness that depression can bring. If this is indeed a poem about depression, it's wonderfully worded. If it is, however, something a little bit darker, as described, as I search around upon the ground, I seek to find what lies behind of feathered shreds where an angel treads in a dark silhouette of winged regret. Taken literally, the angel is very disappointed, or he was an angel, or tore an angel to shreds, and all this, of course, metaphorically, he violated something. That is dark in itself. I mean, I could go on. He chooses to rhyme a couple of the stanzas perfectly, you know, with the A-B type of thing, but then others are evocative near rhymes and a lot of internal rhymes. So the musicality of the piece is not missing. and just seems to flow. A really remarkable piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. Gene, how about you?
Oh, you know, I thought this was wonderful. His rhyme and meter is always spot on. Amazing imagery throughout. Beautiful work, and as always, it was well performed. I mean, one thing with Arcana and Selena as well, and many others that we have, when they put something together, it's well rounded. It's not just a poem. When they do a sound effect, it all comes together, and I think that's a wonderful thing. It's definitely something they should all be proud of, you know, and Arcana as well. The music and the words and his voice and his cadence, and it all just comes together, and it's a wonderful job. So thank you so much for sharing very much, Arcana. And I'm kind of confused if this is a collab. To give you a high five for the partner. I don't see that written anywhere, so I might just be confused or missing it. And if not, great job, Arcana. So, Selena, if you were involved, high five. I think it was
No, I think it was for Selena's contest. Write a poem for contest, Shadow Play, Dark Imagery by Selena.
Right. That was kind of what I was seeing, but, you know, the two of them do collaborate on so many, I thought, well, maybe, you know, always possible. But excellent job. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. He does play the angle of haunting and eerie very well, and the language used as a lot. He runs the inline rhyme as well as both offset and rhyming as well. But he hits on quite a note to the dark of dark angle. Shadows swell, night owls dwell. Let's see, plight to stage from sight. Everything walks that touch of being is. Phantoms roam, clinging pall within this pitch so darkly rich. Each footstep sighs, neath darkened skies. Everything rolls into that note of deep sadness. Imagery works well with the back end of how blue one's thoughts can actually drive one to a sort of madness. It kind of works well with the back angle working in Poe's realm and working very well with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, Arcana.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, the next one I have, Laurent, I'm putting up for you. It's called Silver Breakfast by Cedar Chapman. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Silver Breakfast. Do you remember the day when silver clouds flickered in and out and blemished the sun as we stood by the water in our polished black and white? The photographer tried tirelessly to manage the f-stop with old-school film, not that digital stuff we use today. That picture still stands on our mantle, decades old, motionless like a broken clock. Trying to remember what squeaky springs on a futon mattress sounded like. Did we have oatmeal with brown sugar every day this whole week? I often wonder if we both prefer the high-pitched burr and the smell of fresh coffee beans over our morning silence. And are our neighbors' bedrooms also mausoleums where dead people sleep, tossing and turning over assisted living, college funds, and retirement plans. Each day you trudge on, perfectly orchestrating the opulence of laundry, piano practice, and three square meals. Occasionally you smile at me while refilling the hummingbird feeder, raptly admiring them as they fly free from house to house. This is where I join you on the back porch and puff out my feathers, hoping that gray equals black and white. I hold your hand, compliment the brown sugar, knowing that tomorrow with you will always be better than yesterday. Oh, end poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're on to you first.
Oh, what a beautiful poem. Great reading, Rob, but what a beautiful poem. See, Peter Chapman, I don't know. Man, he can paint a picture. He can bring it all around and just envelop you in it. And I love that about his work. You know, assisted living, college funds, retirement plans. Each day you trudge on perfectly, orchestrating the opulence of laundry, piano practice, and three square meals. Occasionally you smile at me while refilling the hummingbird feeder, rapidly admiring them as they fly free from house to house. This is where I join you on the back porch and puff out my feathers, hoping the gray equals black and white. I hold your hand, compliment the brown sugar, knowing that tomorrow with you will always be better than yesterday. How lovely is all of that? I mean, and everything I skipped above it. I mean, I could have just sat here and read it all again. I mean, I thought it was just beautiful. So excellent job, Peter, and I loved it. I really did. As always, you always make me smile when you put pieces onto the board, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean. Kate, how about
mm-hmm.
you?
Uh-huh. This was just lovely. Imagine somebody writing that to you after 25 years together. Beautiful, beautiful. It was just, again, that, as you pointed out, Phil, that last stanza was just beautiful. I love that, knowing that tomorrow with you will always be better than yesterday. So beautiful. And obviously, I loved a whole lot of it. It was just, it was so personal as well. You know, there was those little personal touches that you're sharing with us, which we should be very pleased of. Remember what squeaky springs on a futon mattress sounds like. Did we have oatmeal with brown sugar every day that whole week? I often wonder if you both preferred the high-pitched burr and the smell of fresh coffee beans over our morning silence. Yes, delightful and very sweet and beautifully penned. So thank you for sharing.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. So, Rob, you got to read it. How about you?
Wow. High-pitched burr and the smell of fresh coffee beans over our morning silence. And our neighbor's bedrooms also mausoleums where dead people sleep, tossing and turning over. It's almost a reference to them never coming out at a certain time of the morning to enjoy the fragrance of a coffee or perhaps share the moment, but then being preoccupied with the assisted living, college funds, and retirement plans. I think that these lines are sheer genius. Each day you trudge on, perfectly orchestrating the opulence of laundry, piano practice, and three square meals, almost as if those ordinary, fulfilling things, those necessary things, have become an opulence. It implies not a lack of money, but, you know, you have to watch your pennies. I think it's just relatable imagery, voiced beautifully, really filled my heart with emotion. The surveils of light, just voiced so clearly.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It's those last two stanzas which bite at me, because they hint that even after 25 years, and that thought with the angle of the bedrooms being mausoleums where dead people sleep, so to speak, those last two stanzas hit on a nice soft touch of sensuality at the back end, even with the 25 years on the table. This is where I join you on the back porch and puff out my feathers, hoping that gray equals black and white. I hold your hand, compliment the brown sugar, knowing that tomorrow with you will always be better than yesterday. So a great finish to a wonderful piece. And thank you, Peter. What,
okay. So the next piece I'm going to put up is called Hummingbird Thoughts by A.R. Mundell. I'm going to give that one a read. So, or my eyeballs can read it. Okay, Hummingbird Thoughts by A.R. Mundell. Hummingbird thoughts flitting carelessly from one nectar pot to the next. Floral distractions licking at my wings, trying to pull me in. Colorful banners and sticky praise has me tangled and hobbled, but still I break from their sweet, sweet petal bond, only to end up entangled in another and soul.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And Laurent, why don't we talk with you, please?
You want to talk about a skillful pawn, and I'll call it a brevity, using a hummingbird image to describe the thoughts that one has in our minds, distractions from all sides, trying to pull me in, tangled and hobbled, and, you know, you break away from those distractions, only end up getting entangled in another one. It's a great piece. And I find, if I can add, I see in the AN that ADHD is listed, so yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. Kate, how about you?
Oh, I do love a brevity. I really do. I think they're just so incredibly clever. Hummingbird thoughts, and this is exactly what you get from this. You get the idea of how it must feel to have your thoughts perhaps out with your own control, drifting carelessly around from one little spot to another. Something catches your attention. You're distracted. What you were going to do isn't going to be done. I just thought it was so clever, so very clever, without actually saying, you know, we understand what's going on and what restrictions there are. And yes, hummingbird thoughts, I thought, was beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing, Amy. Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And Jean, you got to read it.
I did. And it was wonderful. I thought it was an awesome brevity. And, you know, each thought fleeting, but the mind never idle. You know, wonderful. I thought it was a wonderful write. You know, one thing passes just as quick as the next thing starts. Or each thing starts just as the other thing ends. It's just a cycle, and it keeps the mind, you know, running, racing. It all depends on the person and the day and the moment. But I thought it was just a really wonderful job. Well expressed, A. R. Mundell, and thank you so much for sharing with us. I really liked it. Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, everyone. Amy did this in such a way and with such a nice, quiet thought to where she was going with this. She could have left out that notation and the A and for the ADHD and distraction, and you still would have been able to come up with the general idea of somebody's mind working on a level that they do get distracted mm-hmm. easily, because she offers up that floral distractions, the next little a bit of sweet fruit to dine upon, because she runs that note right up front, hummingbird thoughts, flitting carelessly from one nectar pot to the next, which was a great start. And then the mm-hmm. finish, only to end up entangled mm-hmm. in another, that bite of mm-hmm. something sweeter within the next nectar pot. So well done, Amy. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jane, we're back up to
you. Okay, the next one I want to put up is called Dark Lord of Arcana by Stellina. So I have an audio for this one. No. I know it's here. There it is.
Master of Mystique, Dark Lord of Divination, sequestered in the velvety cloak of night, skilled in the art of extrasensory perception, midnight blue gaze bewitching the sight. Beware, for all is not to speak the imagination, for his felonious fee is not what you perceive. His parched throat thirsts only for exsanguination, and from his lethal lair you will never leave. He has the power to caress your mind, hypnotizing you with pleasurable potence, while in his wooing words you hope solace to find, which burns to ashes within his necromance, as the prurient pact in blood is signed. The cards he turns will speak of destiny's dance to woeful warning signs. You will become blind as his seductive voice your senses will entrance. Your fate lies in each contrived card's face, revealing the premeditated plot that he conspires. His prey you are, now futile to give chase, for your soul is bound for flaming putrid pyres. Then, as you are enveloped in his perilous embrace, he takes from you the only essence he desires. His eyes roll back in crimson, revealing his true face. Dark Lord of a covenant of voracious vampires.
Great read, Celine. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Jean. Is your spine tingling in the moment?
Am I who?
Is your spine tingling?
Oh, well, you know, Selena's work is always, like, over the top. I love the fact that she wrote this for Arcana, or with a nod to Arcana. I'm not going to say for him, about him, but with a nod to him. Because it's write a poem for a contest, Eve's World Character Contest. Create a character based on an AP poet. And I think that she did such a wonderful job with this. Because, you know, as I said earlier, Arcana is very smooth, and this was very smooth. And it had a wonderful amount of detail in it, and I thought it was just wonderfully done. So, Selena, well, it was an excellent nod to Arcana. And, you know, I'm not sure if the contest has been judged, but definitely good luck in that. It was wonderful.
Thank you very much, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, I see this work being read aloud in the opening scenes of a movie, such as was done in Lord of the Rings. If you remember, giving the history of Middle-earth up to a certain point. But this is a dark paintbrush, and it's ready to leave a bloody painting behind. As she says, in exsanguination and from his lethal lair, he will never leave. She really understands the art of the dark mood, voice and words, and it ends up being hypnotizing.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. And Kate, how about you?
I thought that was absolutely amazing. The only word for it. The music. The pace, a beautiful pace, nothing hurried, every word so easily understood and read. I just loved it. Oh, my goodness me. You did this so well, Selena. It was, and this will be perfect for the story, the book that Ben's writing. He's got every character from the AP, or he's trying to get every character, every poet, the AP in it, in one way or the other. So this is perfect, absolutely perfect. Oh, I loved it. It just had me shivering with enjoyment, and that's a very nice feeling. So thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, and thank you very much for letting me hear it.
Yeah, this is very well done. I'm kind of leaning towards this being an introduction, a lead-in to what gets delivered to us when the show kicks off, Dark Lord Arcana. Will enter the realm, and I don't know where Selena fits in as far as the dark angle goes, but it kind of offers up the notion of where they're going with what they're going to put on with their show. So, looking forward to it. All right, Jane. We're back to you.
Okie dokie. Okay. Give me 2 seconds here. I'm kind of working my way through here. This is Selena. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up. I think I'm going to ask you to read this one. This is called You Just Did by Hope Soul. So whenever you're ready. Oh, well, whenever I put it up and then you're it. That's the way that works.
I get this one.
I missed who you asked to read.
What I do? Kate, hear me, hon?
Who's supposed to write this?
For you. Right, it's for me.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate.
They didn't hear who it was for, my dear, so it's okay. So this is Judas said, shh, I hope so. Righteous hands under the guillotine, peanuts tossed from the gallery, muti merde, where is mercy? In the eyes of the executioner, one silent slash, one clean cut, one dead thump, leaving behind a gory mangled knob, cauterized, posed poetry, sway vallows making beauty from oil paint pain. Black palms open for exposure. Insert voodoo pins and fingers. Snuff away the poet, pluck away pricks. They love me, they love me not. Calligraphy written with red wine needles. Vultures pick away at lesser prey. Rotting flesh on display. Birds of prey clawing crimson pages. Rope train carries the moon's sorrow. It beats to the sound of black feathers drying out in the desert. End poem.
Great read, Kay. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you, Kay? Yes, no, maybe?
You know she's on mute or running away.
Well, then, why don't you kick us off, Laurent?
Oh, man, I should have shut up. Okay. Judas said, shh. I'll tell you, I admire the language here. At my first read, I'm getting the sense of a writer who's being prescribed from writing someone something, or a writer who has written something but he's been... He has succeeded in mangling what he was attempting. And I'm getting that from cauterized post poetry, swap halos making beauty from oil paint pain, a reference, I think, to painting. And the fingers, insert voodoo pins in fingers. Those fingers are not going to write what you wanted to write. Snuff away the poet. Pluck away pricks. They love me. They love me not. He bleeds. Calligraphy written with red wine needles. He bleeds the effect of alcohol and wine in an attempt, but it fails. Vultures pick away at lesser prey, rotting flesh on display. The death of his poems, almost. The death of his writing, I think. Either way, I really enjoyed this.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, beautifully, beautifully written. I don't know why, but I kind of got the feeling that this was about how difficult it can sometimes be to write your truth or to write something that would mean something to someone else. Sometimes it is just very hard to get the words out, and when you do, you look at them and think, well, that wasn't what I meant at all. So, yeah, as I say, I could be wrong, but either way, it's beautifully written. I didn't enjoy the insert voodoo pins and fingers, snuff away the poet. Pluck away pricks, they love me, they love me not. Calligraphy written with red wine needles. Yes, so very well done and so emotive. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you? Are you in there?
Sorry, I'm not sure if you called on me earlier, but I had to wander off and go find out why the dog was barking incessantly. So now, I want to say that I thought this was an incredible write by Hope. She does have a wonderful way of wording her poetry. very well penned piece and great imagery throughout. I was looking and going, and where is mercy in the eyes of the executioner? One silent slash, one clean cut, one dead pup, leaving behind a gory mangled mouth. Quarterized prose poetry, with aloes making beauty from oil paint clean. And it just goes on. But that one section alone, where is mercy in the eyes of the executioner? I love that question. I thought that was just a fabulous lead into our next thought. So really well done, and thank you so much for sharing, Hope.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. I think those first three lines kind of hit the note really well. Right as hands under the guillotine, peanuts tossed from the galaxy, muita merda, lots of shit. Where is mercy in the eyes of the executioner? One spinal slash, one clean cut, one dead thump. The idea of denigration, putting someone down because of what they offer up. And again, kind of hits on that with another bit of, leaving behind your gory mangled knob, quarterized post poetry. Hits on that note of censorship and deleting something that which you either don't understand, don't really care about, or you just want to remove it because of what it reflects. Nicely done, Hope. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back up to you.
Okay. Let me see. What color is that? That one. Okay. Okay, Rex, I'm going to give you this one to read by Poetic Picasso. And then we're coming down the home stretch. Well, kind of.
Okay,
here we go, whenever you're ready.
Poetic Reverence by Poetic Picasso. There is a noble affection and sincere gratitude that is demonstrated openly between two poets. It is a deep understanding of the mind and the admiration of an artistic revelation, a particular bond that is undeniably evident and so natural in its poetic elegance and affinity, an intellectual expression shared by the talented vision of exceptional poets. For many, it is an acclaimable aspiration that ultimately immortalizes the link imbued of indelible quills. Those that disregard its relevance are the brazen fools that sorely misunderstand its purpose. This unique reverence that I address is only understood by the inspired poets that dare the grandeur of immortality. It is immortality that poets seek to imbibe from its elixir of life or eternal fountain of ingenuity. The beauty of this form of reverence is acknowledged by the token gesture of a poet's appreciation. It does not require the trivial accolades, nor the acceptance from the world, for it is not religious in its intrinsic nature. Poetry is the genuine voice of the account of the poet, as art is simply the serendipity to the pleasure of the artist. There is a certain envy with poets of hauteur, while well established in the game of duplicity, who are then known to us as bitter critics, and their tongues are the worst of all serpents. These despicable serpents are very clever, but they do not fully distinguish the irony and seek foolishly to please their selfish egos with recognition that is worthless stupidity. The truth that I speak of is greater than the voice of one poet, and its merit is measured in the essence that is called poetic reverence. To the world, I say candidly, I am damned if I do, and damned if I don't. And poem.
Yeah.
All right, Jean, you get to kick us off.
He's going to kick you in the shins for making that again. I thought this was just a wonderful piece by Frank. As always, he puts together such detailed poetry. I mean, his Oscar Wilde works are always kind of, a slam dunk. You know, he's got it all together anyway, and he makes great points throughout. You know, I was trying to figure out, I was going to grab some of the lines from above, but the last two stanzas, full stanzas, were pretty well said. You know, there's a certain envy with poets of hauteur, well established in the game of duplicity, who are then known to us as bitter critics, and their tongues are the worst of all serpents. You know, and I can read on, but I don't want to read it again. It was a longer poem. But I thought that he really did a fine job with this, and I think he really put it out there and was well stated. So nice work, Frank, and thank you so much for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
As Frank says, there's a certain envy with poets of hauteur. You tend to think not necessarily of snobs, but whose poetry is perhaps not that accessible to the average reader, and therefore they put themselves on a different plane, a different level. But to make themselves feel better, and realizing probably that what they write is crap, they become critics of other works that are better than their own. And I love the line, but they do not fully distinguish the irony. The irony of being that what they write is not nearly as good as what they criticize, because they seek foolishly to please their selfish egos, with a recognition, of course, from everyone else that it is worthless stupidity. I thought he hit the nail on the head with that. It's really a worthy addition to your accumulated wild pieces. Good stuff. I admire for its skill and thought.
I'll second that thought. Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, this was very, very cleverly done. He does it so well. His grasp on you getting the thought across is so beautifully done. I really enjoy it. And, yeah, he's so correct in what he says. But we find this in many stations in life where people, because they throw words at something, 4, 5, 6, 7 syllable words at things, they think that makes it something that other people might envy. And, yes, it's beautifully done most of the time. It's very clever. But as you said, not accessible to everybody, and that's a shame. Yeah, and I can see that as well, where Frank says that they criticize other people, not being aware of the fact that the criticism should be pointed at them. But yes, I thought it was wonderfully done, and I'm going to read more of his this kind of thing from Frank, because it's really interesting. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jane, where it comes to you.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Tidal Wave, A Weaver of Dreams. And let me hit that audio.
Oh, look at that.
Night is here, and the moonlit, sultry scene is set. Candles lit, incense burning, the heat and aroma caresses my libido as I ache to fall into your arms. Desire runs through me, a hot and hungry high tide, pounding and relentless, which drags me under waves of delicious, dangerous liquid power to entrance me. You ravage my willing body, then tantalize and tease. You slow down, whisper tender words to me as I beg for release from this exquisite passion and sweet pain. Our heartbeats quicken as my lips, soft and tender, seep a silky hot path down your lean, live body. Then you stop me, kiss me deeply, and together we implode.
Kaboom! Great read there, Kate. Thank you for the sound cloud. That was hot and delicious. All right, Laurent, you got to kick this one off.
Well, indeed. Desire runs through me, a hot and hungry high tide, pounding in the senses, which drags me under waves of delicious, dangerous liquid power to entrance me. You know, when I read that, it makes me want to meet the author. That is provocative, loving and steamy. Nice job.
Thank you, Ralph. Gene, how about you?
Awesome piece, kid. I love it. I thought it was hot, hot, hot. You know, fabulous, right? Just really well done. But I'm a little intrigued now. In the AM here, it says this is too... Well, you'll know who. I thought that was a little bit... It was, made me curious, I got to say.
I would love to enlighten you, my dear Phil, but if I did, I'd have to shoot you. So sorry.
I guess I'll have to ask you later, maybe.
Yeah.
Too funny. This is a wonderful.
Yeah, it is. I say this is having your cake and eating it too. And how come you're not entering a little bit more on Wednesdays with this stuff?
I don't know.
This stands up to quite a bit. You'd have a lot of people groaning on air.
Okay, I'll do it.
There you go. Wednesdays are going to get hotter.
Oh, cool. Oh, dear.
My.
Like that song from What's His Face from the New York Dolls. Hot, hot, hot.
Hot, hot, hot.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
Oh, there you go. Even Selena put in hot, mama, hot, hot.
So kind. Thank you so much.
Don't play naive, Shorty Laffy. Nice, Selena.
I went in on that interrogation. Oh my God.
Will it involve whips and blindfolds and things, this interrogation at all?
I don't know for sure.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness me.
I'll tell you. My. Well, Selena used the word interrogation. I just said I went in on it. So we'll all be checking this one out. We'll get back to you guys later. Oh, God. I'm going to get the whips out. We're in trouble now.
Yep,
okay. The next season. Yeah, it's crazy around here. And next piece I'm going to put up is Like Everyone Else by Laurent Ivan. There you go, Laurent, whenever you're ready.
All right, Like Everyone Else. Rivers run thick and brown in the Vietnam Delta. Catfish and rays are outsized. Danger for the unwary. Lush grasses border the muddy banks, home to nesting birds and machine gun nests. Life grows in one, death in the other. Âgé de plus en plus loin, belle vie de ma naissance. Fair city crying for its youth, rubble dotting the scarred cobblestones of grand avenues. Freed not so long ago from the heavy tread of jackboot heels, slamming hard in unison. Conqueror's gate. Grandfather, I walk in your memory of years gone by, risking the breath of life. Uncle, you buried bones of comrades from here to there, cradling friends who bubbled their blood into your grasp. Who am I to stalk this soil? I'm no mighty warrior, just a number with a gun, pissing its pants at strange noises, like everyone else. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. All right, Kay, why don't you kick us off? What did you think?
Oh, wow. So well done. And it brings all those terrible thoughts back to us of the horror of war and the there is no getting away from that bullet if it's for you, if it's meant for you. Oh, my goodness me. Very well done. And it breaks my heart. It really does to think about these people whose lives so needlessly lost and so terribly painful. Ugh. That's a Scottish word, by the way. Ugh. It's awful. I think you did this amazingly well, and you brought all of those thoughts to us, so we should never forget. And that's what I feel, we should never forget. So thank you for that. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
Who is one even? She. I thought this was a nicely penned piece, Laurent. I thought the story was well conveyed throughout. Just another one of your great tales. And then she did a wonderful job with it. So thank you, Sharon.
All right. Thank you, Jean. I like that opening stanza because you dot in something that most people don't realize. Rivers run thick and brown in the Vietnam Delta. Catfish and rays are outsized danger for the unwary. There's a whole big truth in that catfish and rays are outsized, along with some other big goodies that roll through the Delta there. Now, you hit on your uncle and your grandfather, so you've got three generations that have worn their feet within this atmosphere. Plus, you also hit on that that note, Belleville de Montnaissance, beautiful city something. Ah, okay. So within that note, that comes on three flavors of longing for the home instead of being within this this muck, mire, the fetid jungle, so to speak. And you also hit on, there was another one, Fair City Crying for Its Youth, rubble doffing the scarred cobblestones of grand avenues. I think there's a double note to that because you're talking about home there, France, but also there used to be some grand French villas and streets in Vietnam back in the day as well. So that kind of, I get a note to both in those lines. And then that thought of youth in those last few lines. Who am I to stalk this soil? I am no mighty warrior, just a number with a gun, pissing his pants at strange noises like everyone else. The youthful tone comes through there, the 18, 19, 20-year-olds who first in country and their first experience with what life is like in a darker world and realm.
Rex, you mentioned the grand avenues in Vietnam. You know, there's no excuse for the subjugation of a people by any country, let alone France, a classic imperialistic move that took over a country and controlled it, but it's always a but. Contributed its language, its culture, its architecture, left a very deep, deep impression in Vietnam. Awful to think about, and yet they left something other than babies, something I know we did.
Yes. Unfortunately. All right, Jean, we're back up to you.
Okay. For my next post, I'm going to put up this piece called Sphere by Daniel Deschino. And I have an audio for that. But that's just wonderful.
Ooh.
So here we go.
The western sunset is a kiss blown in the wind, sent to awaken a distant friend, as they will send tomorrow for me. And a morning walk on quiet beach brings to mind the rocks that once were, and the waves that soften them to ease my path today. Clouds flow overhead towards ocean horizon. I breathe the air that guides them along to water a garden on a distant shore. My family dines on foods of the world, American wheat, Colombian fruit, Moroccan spice, Italian wine. With a simple click, give to a church-born charity, and a family along the Guyana River is clothed. Walk the earth and show me the end, and your journey will bring you to tap me on the back. And I would give my brother a parcel of land if he would but share the food that he grows. And I would let my sister fish in peace in the same stream as me, if she would but only catch what she needs. From the infinity of space, from the realm of God, all is one.
Great read, Daniel. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Kate, why don't we take it with you, please?
Oh, beautiful, Daniel. I really enjoyed this. When you think of a sphere, it's there, it's round, it contains, it holds. And then you have this. A morning walk on a quiet beach brings to mind the rocks that once were and the waves that softened them to ease my path today. Clouds flow overhead towards ocean horizon. Beautifully done. I really enjoyed this. And I like the fact that we're talking about how easy it is to get the commodities that we want nowadays, and how we can do everything. I wouldn't say second hand. I would say we do everything at a distance. We don't have that closeness. And there's a lot to do with technology and a lot to do with what we've gone through with COVID and everything else, and all that comes together to make us perhaps not as close to the people we would like to be as we should be. But I thought it was beautifully done. And that all is one, a pale blue dot, and one's presuming the sphere is Earth, which I think is wonderful. So I enjoyed it very much. Thank you, Daniel.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
This is deep. From the infinity of space, from the realm of God, all is one, a pale blue dot, a sphere. Of course, I forget for the ending because it is also the beginning. We live on one globe as a human family, and he even characterizes the western sunset as a kiss blown in the wind, sent to awaken a distant friend, as if he were that friend, but all others are somehow friends as well, because they all walk under the same sunset, the sunrise. His phrasing, in a morning walk on quiet beach, brings to mind the rocks that once were, and the waves that softened them. Use my path today. He's speaking to an enormous flow of time and age that goes by before waves soften the rocks. And again, he's breathing right to the heart of the world, and then to the interconnectedness of family dining on foods of the world, and the ability to clothe a family in Guyana with a simple click. And that, of course, is the magic of the interconnectedness of our internet. And then, of course, finishing with a beautiful, beautiful final set. Just a wonderful piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
Oh, I think this is a wonderful piece by Dan. I really enjoyed the entirety of it. I have to say that the second half of it, with a simple click I give to the church, born charity, and a family in Guyana River, along a Guyana River is closed, and then all the way down to the end, I thought that was just a fabulous sentiment throughout. And it was a well-deserved gold in the contest that you wrote for. And excellent job, Dan. And, hey, thanks for the sound set. You did a nice job. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Laurent, you hit on that note of interconnectivity. There is that, and it's the interconnectivity in all things as well. Yet there's not enough interconnectivity to actually walk this world as a singularity, as opposed to the band of brothers and differences that separate everybody. So nicely done, Daniel. And back to you, Jean.
Okay, well, the next piece I'm going to put up is called Forget Me, Please, by Babbler. And I have a soundtrack for that as well. Babbler. How about it? Okay.
Forget me, please. There's no flower called the forget-me-please, a blossom that says, leave me alone, or go away. There's no bouquet for thanks, but no thanks, a color code for a hideaway. How long do I keep a card? Is there a special exception for ones with glitter? A month? A week? Forever? Should I bury it with me when I die, if it feels especially sincere? Even if the non-feelings I had were made exceptionally clear? I envy the peacock spider performing a fan dance. No ambiguity, no hard feelings, a straightforward invitation of romance. Fish often do not encounter their lovers, lovers being perhaps too strong a word, eggs and sperm meeting on riverbed, no dancing, bouquets, or cars to dread. What is the best way to reject these little gifts? Send a message clearly that I'm not interested. Lord, make me a bouquet that says, not now, not ever, that is kind, and reads plainly, sir, forget her. End poem.
Great read, Babla. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
I am really tempted to ask you to come back to me, my friend. I'm rereading this, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, no problem. Kate, what about you?
Oh, I thought this was incredibly good. I mean, really, how often have we thought to ourselves, is there a way to get this message over without hurting somebody or without making them feel bad? Well, no, there isn't. You know, you have to be plain and just speak your truth. I love that phrase, by the way. I don't know whether I've just heard it recently, but it's bouncing about in my head. So forget me, please. Beautifully, so cleverly done. That first stanza sets you up, knows you know what's coming. There's no flower called a forget me, please. A blossom that says, leave me alone or go away. There's no bouquet for thanks, but no thanks. A colour code for a hideaway. So clever. So very clever. And so, and I love the humour in it. I really, you know, I mean, this is obviously sincerely felt. This is something that Barbara actually feels, you know. And I also love the what would you do with the card?
Yeah.
How long do I
how
I
long
love
do
it.
You keep it.
Yeah, how long do you keep a card? Is there a special exception for ones with glitter? Oh, so good. I mean, I have got, I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of cards that I haven't been able to throw away. And this just, you know, I just feel such a twit now when I read this. You know, just get rid of them. But no, you know, you've got to keep them because somebody sent them to you. Oh, lovely. I really enjoyed it. But I'm going to have a clear out, Babbler, thanks to you. So, well done.
Oh, I walk the same shoes as you. This was funny. It's labeled with a lot of irony and flavor and sassiness because you know what? There is never, ever a good time. There's never, ever a good phrase. And you know what? It is. You're better off with the truth instead of, all right, how do I, thanks but no thanks. And that one near the end, what was it? Not now, not ever. Sure, forget her. Biting and spinning. Jean, how about you?
I love Babbler's work. I think she again is one of those people I call feet on the ground poetry. She always says what she means and means what she says. That's the way I take her. I loved so much of this, but how long do I keep a card? Is there a special exception for ones with glitter? A month, a week, forever? Could I bury it with me when I die, if it feels especially sincere? Even if the non-feelings I had were made exceptionally clear? It's like, okay, what can I say to make you just go up? Just stop. Because it's not working and it's not reciprocated. Anyway, I thought it was a great job by Babbler, and thanks for sharing with us, hon. Well done.
All right. Thank you, Jean. All right, Laurent, up to you.
Yes, indeed. I thought this contained a more than a bit of dark humor addressing real life and the awkwardness which infects our social dance, leaving us wrong-footed and in the dark as ever. You know, I can't help but think, as she said, Lane, I envy the peacock spider performing a fan dance, no ambiguity, no hard feelings, straightforward invitation of romance. Well, that's nature's signal. Male sees that, comes right over, he knows what he has to do. women, I was going to say women, but men and women sometimes go, how do I want to say this? They flirt half-heartedly, if you will. And that can mean different things to different people. And sometimes even a half-hearted flirt is not welcome. If people use the appropriate language, for instance, if they were treated, if they were trained, taught to write the way, for instance, English people are, with a depth of understanding of language and structure and the ability to communicate thought, writing skillfully and warm of tone, I should say, a polite refusal and a thank you for the compliment of their attention, I think it would do the trick. I think it's right there. Very stimulating poem. Raises that great food. Raises great food for the pot.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. All right, Jean.
Okay.
We're back at
the well, we have 4 minutes left, but I have a poem that's not real long, and I'd like to try and get it in. This is called Beyond Eternity by Silvana Fogg. And here it goes. Whenever you're ready, I'm going to give it to Kate. Kate, a better reader.
Okay, my dear. Yes, 1 second.
Thanks, honey.
I am refreshing. Kate, like, stop the clock. Stop the clock. Ah, here we are. Got it. Beyond Eternity. You were here and gone tomorrow. This all-consuming grief, pain that scorches through my veins, it will not be easy letting go of a love that fills my life. You have left an ocean of emptiness. I fear to wake and stand alone. I live in the shade. You are my light in the darkness, my warmth on a winter's night, music that made my heart sing. I am bereft. I struggle to see the beauty of a sunset, to hear the song of the blackbird, to feel the magic of the seasons. But the memories I have of you are mine and mine alone. They are out of reach, beyond eternity, hidden away in my secret treasures. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Jean, since it's a shorty, you get first dibs.
I thought this was just a beautiful piece, and I could relate to it very well. I've worn those shoes, and I think that she did this beautifully. And see, now I'm in a time press, and now I can't think. It was just a beautifully written piece, and I thought it was very well expressed. And thank you, Silvana, very much for sharing with us this beautiful work.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
I am bereft. I struggle to see the beauty of a sunset, to hear the song of the blackbird, to feel the magic of the seasons. And oh, this is, she's stripped of all ability to see the beauty in life, the wonder of life. Instead, there is nothing but memories I have of you, which are mine and mine alone. They're out of reach beyond eternity, hidden away in my secret treasures. Yeah, memories that perhaps don't get looked at all that often because they are hidden away and none of that is exposed. None of that is shown. None of that is mentioned. And if you don't get rid of that at a certain point, I think it's it eats at you. But the way she writes about it, well, she says music made my heart sing. This poem makes my heart sing. It's very sad, but beautifully done.
Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, you got to read it.
Oh, yes. As Phil said, we've all stood in that place and dealt with that pain, and it's never easy. I think for me the whole thing is encapsulated in you have left an ocean of emptiness. I mean, you couldn't put it any clearer, could you? Because that's what it feels like. You're floating on nothing, with nothing, and nothing to look forward to. Ah, oh, my goodness me. I hope this is something that's way in the past. And I hope the memories are not too bright and they're dulling slightly, because that is just a heavy burden to carry. And it does, there's no color, there's just gray. You know, it's, yeah, beautifully done. And I really, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. It was a beautiful write. Thank you, Silvana.
And we're coming back to you, Jean, for closing notes.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Laurent and Kate, for calling in tonight. And Max, thanks as always for co-hosting with me. It's always a pleasure. Wonderful poetry tonight. And we have a few pieces left for next Friday, but I'll be moving them onto the board tonight. And it'll be up for everyone to see. If you didn't hear your piece read tonight, be sure to check it out. And most likely that's where you will find it. Just wonderful, wonderful poetry and great reads and comments from everyone. So thank you all again, and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And Rex, what do you have going on Sunday real quick? May as well put it at the end of
I have, well, Sunday is 50 years of On the Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes, that's what I thought. Okay, well, yes, we'll see what we can do then, and it should be fun. Tomorrow night, Exploring X-Races with Captain B2 and Van Deschina. And that'll be followed up by, oh, no, it won't be followed up by anybody. I'm so confused. Anyway, thanks, everybody, and I hope you all had a great night, and I hope you enjoyed the poetry. I sure know I have, so it's a wonderful thing. So take care, and I'll talk to you all.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody.
Take care. Bye. Mm-hmm. Just saying.